Beware of the scribes, who like to accept greetings, seats, and places of honor. They devour houses of widows, and as a pretext, they recite lengthy prayers. They will receive a severe condemnation. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. You know, the other day I was sick. I was sick all week, really. I had 3 days just flat on my back, pretty much, because I couldn't get up. I was so sick that it was there, and all I could really do was either just stare at the ceiling and count the spots that are there, or pull out my phone and watch some YouTube videos on the faith or something like that, so I could at least be entertained, at least learn something while I'm going, if I can't be active and do what I want to do. So that's what I did. I was learning on the faith, and you know what happens from time to time? They interrupt everything that you're doing with an advertisement, right? So you get those advertisements, and you got to hit that little button to skip it, right? Well, I couldn't figure out one time how to hit the button to skip it, maybe because I couldn't open my eyes completely, or I was a little bit disoriented. So I had to watch this whole ad, this whole infomercial. What was going on in there? Let me describe it to you, because it impacted me. This infomercial, what it had was it depicted in the background. The background was this beautiful Spanish-style mansion of a house, just this gorgeous place. Had a beautiful patio that was out there in the front. There was a garden that was off to the side over here that was perfectly manicured and just gorgeous. And over here, right in the middle of that, there was these beautiful fountains that were just shooting up in some sort of grand style. It was just so great. In the far distance, right behind it all, you saw these beautiful purple mountains, snow-capped. It was just such a picturesque scene. In the foreground, all there was a man holding a Bible. So a man who was there holding a Bible, and he was dressed to the nines. He was looking sharp. He was really, really dressed nicely, and he had the silky smooth voice, unlike my voice, which is right now messed up because of the sickness that I have. Silky smooth voice that was coming on. And all the while, he just began talking about things, building something up. And as he was doing that, a variety of images came across the screen. You had an image of first, it was a woman, beautiful woman in a swimsuit, who was just lounging by a pool there, sipping a nice cold drink. Then the next thing that they showed there was a man who was just really nice and nicely dressed too, who was stepping out of his Rolls Royce. Really nice car. Then the next thing that it showed was a massive kitchen that was just had everything in its right place. And as it was going here, I was building up, I was thinking, well, what is this guy trying to sell me here? I just want to know. I mean, this is a really big buildup. What's going on here? It was a book. It was a book. Of course, it was a book that this man who was talking had written there. And he was so excited about selling that book and giving that book to me because he said, look, this book is going to change your life. It's going to transform everything about you. You will not be the same after you read this book. You know what the title was? Catchy title. The title was How to Be Rich and Have Everything You Ever Wanted. Sounds like a really good title, something that maybe we all would want to do. And guess what? On top of it, absolutely free. Absolutely free. Get this book. Take it. All you had to do was give him a call. You just pick up that phone, give him a call. Maybe there was a nominal shipping charge or something like that. And it'd get that book in your hand, and it was going to change your life. I was excited because this was finally, I was going to have somebody who was going to unlock for me the mysteries of the sacred scriptures. Who was going to tell me everything that I ever wanted to know that I could have if I just read this book, that I could have that same beautiful house. That I could be driving that Rolls Royce, or maybe even better, somebody else would be driving me in that Rolls Royce. That if I just did this, that I could be lounging my whole day long by a pool like that, sipping a nice cold drink. Maybe even that throw in the young lady to boot. All these things could be mine if I just did that. And the man kept telling me, look, this is what God wants for you. God wants you to be healthy. He wants you to be wealthy. He wants you to be wise. He kept saying, God wants you to be rich. He wants you to be happy. And he wants you to have everything that you've ever wanted. And I just kept thinking to myself, wow, like I've lived 35 years. I've studied scriptures so much a part of my life. Since I was just a little boy, I was studying them. And I've never seen anything like this in the scriptures. Then you know what I did the next day? I read the gospel that Deacon Marvin just proclaimed for us. Read that gospel. And I thought, what is Jesus Christ saying about this man in the infomercial? What's he saying there? I felt like we had just been zapped into a modern version of those scribes that Jesus is launching this indictment of in the gospel. He's saying, what? He's talking about those who go around having a pretense and an attitude of holiness, but really they're only interested in devouring widows' houses and seeing what they can extract from the people who are around them. They give these lengthy prayers, they talk a big talk, but then really they're just trying to put their hand into our wallets. All the while they promise us riches if we just do this thing. And maybe that's a little bit judgy on my part. Maybe that's a little bit too severe on my part, because really, I don't know what's going on in his heart. I have no idea. I've never met the man. Maybe he really does believe that God wants this for us, that God is really after us for that, that God wants us to be healthy, wealthy, and wise and have everything it is that we've ever dreamed of. But the reality is that no matter how sincerely it is that this man in the infomercial believes it, he's still sincerely wrong. He's sincerely in grave error there. That's nothing the case. God, brothers and sisters, he has not promised any one of us in here riches. He's not promised any one of us that we're going to have everything it is that we've ever wanted here. He doesn't promise that all my days of my life are going to be easy, that no misfortune is ever going to come my way, that my life will just go well for me if I just follow him, if I just read the scriptures rightly. That's what our experience is, time and time again, proves that, right? Our daily lives show us that that's not the case. Over the past week, let me tell you some of the things. I've been laid up for most of the week, but what have I done other than that? This week, I was called out to the bedside of a family that just lost their father and their grandfather all of a sudden. I was called out to attend, to be with a young man, a young cop, who was struggling because he was dealing with a deep depression that was going over his life because, what, he lost his job over something that he had nothing to do with. It wasn't even there. And he lost his job, and now he doesn't know how the finances are going to add up. He just got a new baby boy. And he says, Father, I don't know what to do. I can't get a job. Nobody will hire me. There was a young woman who messaged me just yesterday afternoon about the fact that she is losing, a soulmate-level friend, a good friend, all because of a misunderstanding, and she can't do anything to fix that because she's already done everything right. I ran over to a house this week for a man who was going through a really tough surgery, and he really wanted some help because he said, Father, I don't know if I'm going to make it out of that surgery. I might just die and leave my family fatherless. There was a young girl right after Mass last week, a young girl, just like you ones who are here, same age, came up to me and said, Father, could you please just talk to me real quick? So we went into the confession and said, look, this isn't a secret or anything like this. I just need your prayers. Because right now my mom, she's got cancer. And I don't know how we're going to get through this. I'm afraid I'm going to lose her. I don't want to lose my mom, Father. And my family is at each other's throats right now. I don't know what's going on. Please give me comfort. Please pray for me. Do something. And just before Mass last night, I got a call from somebody who we all know is struggling, Miss Gloria Christosma, and how she was suffering from complications that were still plaguing her from the Thursday surgery that she just had. In fact, I just got a call from Mr. Christosma before Mass saying she's not out of the woods yet, but doing so much better. She's asking for prayers of all of us. All these things. Can any of us really say that with all these examples that are going on right here, that these people are suffering just because they lack faith? Is the reason why you and I are experiencing the trials and the sufferings which we're going through in our lives, which may even be worse than these things which we just mentioned here in my past week, are doing it because we don't trust God enough? How many of people in our parish are striving for holiness? That they're really trying to love God the best that they can? That they're trying to do good for their neighbors, even if it's not being reciprocated and understood? And they're dealing with all these intense sufferings. Every single one of these examples, all of them, are some of the ones who are following God the best that I know in my entire life. And it all happened this week. Then we got that sick, that slick Bible salesman, that guy who has it there, who's trying to tote his book and trying to convince us, everybody this morning, that we just don't have enough faith. That's why we're struggling. That we just haven't stumbled on the right book, or we just haven't read the right scripture passage in the Bible. That's why we're suffering. I certainly hope that's not the reason. We got the gospel what? We got two widows in our readings today, a first reading, our gospel reading. And these two widows, what they do, what happens in their lives, that they're miraculously, God intervenes in their lives and provides for them. Out of nowhere, he comes and saves them. And what these widows, what they teach us is quite simply this, that God does not give us in this life what we want. He doesn't. God gives us instead exactly what we need. What do we need most? What we need most is deliverance. We need deliverance from the tyranny of death in our lives. What do we need most? We need freedom. Freedom from the slavery to sin that has a stranglehold on us. All these things are the things that we need most, and that's exactly what Jesus Christ offers to us through his passion, through his suffering. The second reading that you gave for us, that you read for us, Asa, what? It talks about what that it's through his death. Through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ that we have his grace, that we have his strength, that he knows what it is that we're going through. He sees the total sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Guess what? That was foreshadowed in the woman of our gospel. The widow of the gospel, what does she do? She puts the whole of what she has, even though it's just like a penny, into the temple treasury. Why is she doing that? What does that mean? What is she really doing? What she's really doing is she's entrusting her whole life to God's faithfulness, saying, God, I don't have anything. You have my everything now. You have to take care of me. These exact same truths are what we profess every single time we come to Holy Mass. Whether it's in the readings or out throughout all the prayers that we offer in the Mass, every single time, over and over again, it's announced what? At every Mass, we announce that Jesus Christ has died. That Jesus Christ is presently risen. And guess what? He's going to come again. He's not going to leave us here in the same state. He will come again. When Jesus comes again, he's not going to give you a mansion and a brand new car. He's not going to give you a nice, luxurious life. That's not why he came. He's not come to give us everything it is that we've ever desired in our lives. He's coming to give us infinitely more than you or I could ever ask for or even imagine. That's what God has in store. And what he's doing is he's saying, until that day, until that moment when I come back, he's saying this. He's saying, just hold on. Persevere. Stay faithful. Just entrust yourselves to me. I will take care of you because I can. Life is going to be hard. I guarantee you, you're going to suffer just like I suffered. But guess what? I'm going to be with you in that suffering. You're not going to ever have to suffer alone. Not ever. And I think that's the most consoling promise of all of Scripture. That we won't suffer alone. He's with us. We have a Jesus who suffers. Maybe today, when that collection basket is being passed around, maybe you can't put tons of money in it. Maybe you can't throw a bunch of bills in there. Well, guess what? That's totally fine. That's not what God's asking for today. Maybe what's needed more for us to do is to just put more of ourselves into that collection basket when it comes. Sufferings and all, difficulties and hardships and all, to put those things that you and I can't see how they're going to add up or how they're going to end. We don't know how it's going to work out. Put those into the chalice of the precious blood when it's lifted up. Let God transform them in that moment and say, take my sufferings in the midst of your suffering. That's more important. God isn't asking for more of our finances. Guess what? The whole world belongs to God. It all belongs to him. He's going to take care of it all. Somehow, our parish ministries are going to exist. I have faith in that. But what he's asking for is more and more of ourselves. That he's saying that no matter what it is that you or I or everybody else who's suffering within our parish is going through, God isn't afraid of it. He's actually waiting for us to deposit that into him, to entrust it to him. God didn't promise us a mansion. He didn't promise us a rose garden. But what he did promise is this. I'm going to be with you. I'm going to put my strength in you. I'm going to be present with you even in the midst of it all. It's the bitter end. And even after that. Brothers and sisters, this is what the true Catholic faith is. Jesus meets us in our suffering exactly where we are. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.